Acts chapter 5. They called the apostles in and let them go after they had beaten them up and ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day, in the temple and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that the Messiah is Jesus. In His name, beloved of God. We meet a lot of names in the book of Acts, but is a name really worth such attention? After all, if you call a rose by some other name, it will still look and smell as sweet. It's really the person or the thing that gives meaning to its name, isn't it? That's why we'd have trouble finding someone here on these bleachers named Judas Iscariot. Parents don't do that because his name he has blackened by betrayal. But what about the name of Jesus? Can't that get you into trouble too? In Acts 4, we saw Peter and John on trial before the Jewish rulers because they had healed a lame man in the name of Jesus. Now in chapter 5, all the apostles are arrested for continuing to heal the sick, so like their master, and especially for drawing great crowds who also heard them speak in the name of Jesus. When they're brought before the Sanhedrin, the charges sound something like this: "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, but you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Perhaps you remember the apostles' answer: "We must obey God rather than men." And then they went on to tell about Jesus, whom the Jewish rulers had crucified, how God had raised him up to give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. Well, that made the Jewish rulers' beards bristle. They were so furious they would have killed the apostles on the spot, as they later killed Stephen. But at this point, a teacher with a name stood up, a respected name. His name was Gamaliel. And among his students was a young man named Saul. Gamaliel had the apostles removed from the room, and then he persuaded the Sanhedrin to leave them alone, because if their message happened to be from God, you don't want to wind up fighting against God, do you? Fight against God? Of course not. So they called the apostles back in and beat them up and ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus. And then they let them go. Does that sound odd? Killing the apostles might be fighting against God, but beating them up is not. Well, perhaps it doesn't sound so odd because our sinful human nature also still wants to have its own way, even after we have learned that the warfare with God is over and we really do not want to fight with God any longer. And yet we still want our own way. These rulers did want to fight against God's anointed one. So perhaps it's not so hard to understand how they could use gangster tactics and still convince themselves they were not fighting against God. Were their actions unjust? What do you think? Do you think the apostles had grounds for a lawsuit? It was the farthest thing from their minds They walked out of there rejoicing. Not rejoicing in the pain, but rejoicing in the honor of being dishonored for His name. They rejoiced to find themselves in the position of the servants in Jesus' parable, servants sent to the vineyard but beaten up and turned away by the tenant farmers. The apostles left that meeting rejoicing because at last they were privileged to stand by the side of their Lord, whom they had not stood with when He was blindfolded and mocked and beaten in the high priest's house. They went on their way rejoicing, Luke says, thankful to be considered Jesus' own, even if such recognition brought them suffering. They went on their way rejoicing, and so may you and I. No matter what the current troubles may be in our lives, no matter what troubles may be down the road, we can be thankful that we are not being ordered to stop speaking in the name of Jesus. We can be thankful that God has brought us to Emmanuel, not just the college, but to the Savior Emmanuel. And that we bear not just her name, but His name. And if we should suffer the loss of some worldly prestige because our teachers are not renowned PhDs like Gamaliel, or if we should suffer the world's pity, reproach, mockery, or worse, because we proclaim the name of Him who told us to come out from among them and be separate, and touch not the unclean thing, may we still rejoice to bear the name that means forgiveness, perhaps suffering for a while, and joy triumphant forever. Amen. Hymn 364, the first five stanzas, 364, five stanzas.